How much water can you drink and still be thirsty? This is Dr. Herbert Albarelli, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Thought for Today. How much water can you drink and still be thirsty? Well, people drink a lot of water, and they're still thirsty. And why are they thirsty? Because they don't think of water as they should. Water is a very precious commodity. Water is something very important to our bodies and important to us. Now, it's not a matter of how much we drink, but how much do we perspire? How much do we give off from our bodies? How much do we urinate? How much do we give off in our feces? How much do we give off in our perspiration? How much do we give off in all these various ways? It's quite amazing. It's quite amazing. They say that an athlete running gives off a great deal of water through perspiration, and that he is really almost dehydrated if he doesn't take water on. Now, you say, how could that happen, you know, that you perspire so much? Well, you do. But really, you perspire more than you think you do. And you give off more water than you think you do. But you give off water because you have added more water. Because you keep giving yourself more water. Every time you give off water, you get more water. Now, what is it about the urine of the body? The urine of the body is very pure. And the urine of the body has all of the antibodies and all of the beneficial things that the body needs to operate comfortably. Now, why is it that we give off so much urine? We give off so much urine because we take on so much water. And so what we're doing is we're really diluting the antibodies and the other things in our body by adding so much water. Now, you'd say, am I trying to promote that we drink less water? No. I'm promoting this concept. If we have the right mental attitude about our bodies and how they function, the right mental attitude about the water that we have in our bodies and how it is utilized, we will not perspire so much, which is not necessary. We will not urinate so heavily, but we will keep the fluids in our body in their finest homeostatic condition, which is filled with the antibodies, filled with the immune system programming, filled with the proteins, filled with all the things. And then instead of these things being released from the body, they are recycled in the body. Now, the body is truly a recycling program. The body is truly recycling itself all the time to accomplish whatever it wants. I think we'll make a pause here for a second. I took a pause there to look at Rex and see him always interested in food. And as he's always interested in food, he wants to go wherever he smells it is. And he doesn't like to go under the table. But this time, he just scootled and squirtled and crawled under the table because he found a dropped nut there. And he thought, wow, a nut for me. Now, nuts don't have much smell. But he knows he has a 18th sense that knows right where food is and right where the kind of food is that he wants. Now, his body is really a very healthy body. He's a very strong boy. And he is a very healthy dog. And he perspires through the pads of his feet, I understand. And I used to think it's through his tongue, but they say he does it through his feet. Well, now, he doesn't have much perspiration coming out of his feet that I can observe, but I'm not really too good an observer of that. We have within our bodies all of the nutrients, all of the conditions which are valuable to us. Our body creates all of the things that we need to live comfortably and perfectly in our being. And so this makes it very nice for us. If we will pay attention to it, little children, when they have a need for something in their body, they seem to go and find it somehow. They eat dirt or chew on the lead on their bedstead or whatever. And very seldom do any damage to them. Sometimes it does, but very seldom. Because their immune systems and their anti-immune systems and their anti-toxicization systems that are going on in their body are very powerful and very strong. That's why mother's milk is so powerful. It is so feeding that particular need. And that's why the baby's bodies are so filled with all that power, and they could, and they produce all of their own protein. They produce all of their own chemicals that are necessary for the body to function perfectly. Now, we wash it away so quickly. We say you should drink a gallon of water a day, more or less. And as you drink this gallon of water a day, your urinal will be very pure. Well, of course it'll be pure. You've washed everything out. You have no more antibodies that are building up in your system. Well, I would imagine, and I don't know this from research, but I would imagine from the research of my mind, that if we kept a more darker urine, so to speak, in our body, then we have more of our nutrients and things in our body which are recycling through our body. We want to have that happen. We want to have our body recycle all of the beneficial things that are in it as much as possible. And I think perhaps if we do a study on that sometime, and maybe some people have already, but if we would do studies on that, we would find that our bodies are the most intelligent things that we could ever imagine. They know exactly how to take an undifferentiated cell and move it into an eyes, ears, nose, or throat, or whatever it is developed into. And how does it do this? Where does the intelligence come from? The baby is attached to the mother. Is it from the mother? No. The mother's having enough struggle just providing enough energy for the little child to be born and gestated and come forth in its perfect shape. Now, where is it coming from? Well, it comes from within the little infant itself. It comes from in the little person themselves as they are gesticulating within the body. Really beautiful. Now, it comes from the body itself. It comes out of the cells itself. Each cell, undifferentiated like we say, each cell has the potential to be anything. And to be anything means that it has to have the knowledge, the universal knowledge, the all-knowingness to be anything. It has to know whatever any cell in the body is going to be, because it could very well likely be that cell or that part of the body, which is eyes, ears, nose, throat, what have you. Now, we have this wonderful intelligence, and yet we continue to say, I don't know. We continue to say, I've got to eat this, I've got to eat that, and I've got to eat perfect foods, and I've got to eat things that are beneficial to me, and I don't want to eat things that are not beneficial. Well, we all eat an awful lot of garbage. And the garbage that we eat is basically the foods that we normally take in. If we would really eat the essence of the exquisite things that our body needs, because we have slowed down the process of the enzymes within our body to produce the desired quality and quantity of things, if we knew what it was, we could take a pill, so to speak. And that pill would have just those little things in it. That's all we'd need. And we would grow strong, be strong, because that's our nature. How does a little tiny baby grow from nothing into something, you know? It has an intelligence within it. Well, we have an intelligence with us. And we misguide that intelligence by taking our cars and revving them too fast, and we burn up the cylinders, we burn up the bearings, and we burn up all these things. And we say, oh, gee, it couldn't handle it. No, of course not. We hadn't trained it to handle it. We hadn't conditioned it to handle it. And the same with our body. our body isn't conditioned to handle all the stresses that we put on it. It's conditioned to handle one little word. Well, two words, actually. Unconditional love. If the body would receive just unconditional love, what would the body do? It'd just be fantastic. Now, are you ready to be unconditional love? Are you ready to have that be your energy, your powerhouse, your gasoline that you put into the body? Are you ready to have that be so? If you would make unconditional love your fuel for your mind and your body, you would live in absolute paradise all of the time. There would never be a failed day of paradise. There would never be a moment when you would have distress or unhappy thoughts. Never a moment. There would never be a moment in which your body would need excess water. You will release some water through your body. You will have some that comes out through your skin through perspiration and things like that, or urine or what have you. But you want to keep as much of these wonderful fluids, because they are wonderful fluids, in your body. And you say, well, what about all of the burned up energy that is in our body? What about all the things that the bloodstream has to carry away from the cells when the cells are using that energy? Well, if the truth were known, the cells do not have to destroy themselves with the burning of energy. The cells do not have to use old energy. They do not have to dispose of, like, carbon dioxide and things like that, which, if they do, it goes through the skin and just disappears. But why is it that we feel that it has to go through the bloodstream? Well, it doesn't. It really doesn't. Science will find these things to be true. As a moment, it is merely going into what appears to be. And soon they're going to go not what appears to be, but what is. And they'll find that the body is ideal within itself, needing nothing, being everything. And they'll find that the mind is fulfilled within itself. It is omniscient. It knows everything. And they'll find that everything in the world that you have in your world, or I have in my world, is the creation of my unconditional love. And if it's not my unconditional love, you can be sure it's going to be a pretty sordid type of thing. Now, what do you want in your life? Do you want to live in your ideal spirit, mind, and body? Well, then stop thinking of your body as dumping off all these things. Stop thinking of it. My son made an engine, which is a gasoline engine, and it is pollution-free, because at the last stroke, even the pollution which it creates is used to fuel itself, and it burned off. Now, amazing. Why can't other designers do it? Well, it takes a very high technology of understanding how the fuel combustion does take place, and to meet that need on a very close tolerance basis, so that the cylinder is closed at the burning of the last of the fuel. Now, everyone can do that, but they don't, because it's expensive, because it takes a little more precision. And the more precision you put into an engine, the more it costs. It's just a matter of, you know, time and material. But the thing is, with it, with this precision, with the ultimate in precision, we can have the ideal engine. And why do we have in our mind the thought about perpetual energy or perpetual motion? We have in our mind the thought about perpetual motion because it is possible. It's not only possible, it takes place. No. Where does it take place? Where does it take place?
In our mind.
It takes place in our mind, and that's the moment we recognize that, then it's done. Then it's done for us, and then we can start enjoying it. So I'm not suggesting that you drink less. and that you eat less and that you do these things. But I am saying, think more.
Yeah.
Think that you have an ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my... And you are an ideal person. I am
ideal
woman. I am ideal man. I am ideal husband. I am ideal wife. Whatever you feel like you like to be, you're the ideal of it. Now, Sybil is back in London visiting with her grandchild there. And Sybil is the ideal grandmother while she's with her grandchild. But when she's away from her grandchild, she's not the ideal grandmother anymore. Because it's only when the grandchild is present that you can be the ideal grandmother. Otherwise, you're just the ideal woman. And if you're not acting a wife or a husband, then you're not the ideal husband or wife. You're only the ideal husband or wife when you're acting in that stead. So, instead of doing that, act as the ideal being. The ideal. I live in my ideal. I live in ideal, not my ideal, because my ideal may be limiting in my mind. But I live in ideal spirit, mind, and body. I am ideal spirit, mind, and body. I am ideal. And start thinking this way. And as you do, you will drink less, you will eat less, and you will be more, because within you is the divine pattern that stands existent, already done. And it's just up to you to recognize that divine pattern and enjoy it. Reveal it, because it's already there, just waiting for you to dust it off and say, come on out, and there it is. Think on these things. That's why we need water. Not because we need it, but because we think we need it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not suggesting you stop drinking water. I'm suggesting you start thinking you live in your ideal spirit, mind, and body, which needs nothing outside of itself for its fulfillment and for its reality. I love you! I love you! I love you! And Mr. Rex, thank you for being so silent, lying by my side here. You are a marvelous dog. Oh, yeah. Today, Her Highness Ellen and me are going to go off on the Great Blue Sea. And we're going to sail from San Diego to Mazatlan and wherever we're going. Where are we going?
Las Cabos. Lucas.
San Lucas?
Cabo San Lucas.
Well, it's a good thing you know where we're going. we would never get there otherwise. And we're going to be gone for the next
week.
And so when we come back, we will have wonderful things to share with you. But while we're gone, I'm going to make a request of Sylvia and Ingeborg that if each day you would put a talk on the internet, some lovely talk, it can be 5 minutes or 25 minutes, whatever you want, and tell why you think you're so wonderful. Now, that only may take a second, but why you think you're wonderful. Maybe it'll take an hour. Maybe it'll take 10 hours. Maybe it'll take forever, and that's good. But just give a talk each day. Why you're living in your ideal body, why you're living in your ideal world, why you're so happy, or whatever you want to talk about. So, will you do it? Loud.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, you heard that, audience. They're going to do it. So, watch for it. It is a coming attraction, and it's going to be exciting starting tomorrow. Have a lovely week. Wait, Ellen and I. Ellen?
Yes, we are sailing to the south, and we'll have a lot of fun.
So, I love you. I love you. I love you.